night, so a lot of train noises there.
Yeah, did you get enough with the boiler up?
No, after the first quarter, it got pretty quiet. It was the quietest train in history. Well,
is that like a sexual thing?
No. In this song, it might be.
I think it is. Yeah. Well, it is the Quad City DJs, and we all know how things go around
here.
Yeah,
we're a bunch of perverts.
Yeah, absolutely, here in River City.
All right, well, welcome to 12 Saturdays. I'm James Bladel.
I'm Tori Breck.
And how you feeling?
You know, victory Tuesday, I guess, you know.
But isn't it, I mean, you said in your column, a victory only a fan could love, or is it the team, the season, the only a fan could love?
Well, it's just, yeah, I mean, it's not a real pleasant experience. I only got to watch the second half on Saturday, so I was really stoked on Saturday because it was 10-10. My son's soccer game was over. We went to a nice brew pub in Madison, surrounded by Badger fans, and they were struggling too. They were like only at 3-3 when we got there.
Right.
And then Iowa just dominated every bit of the game that I watched. But then I did, before writing the column last night, watch the whole thing from the beginning, and yeah, it's just not pretty.
It seems like it takes the defense one series to kind of get its legs underneath it, figure out what's going on. It seems like it takes the offense
a half.
And then it seems like it takes the whole program like 5 weeks to find an identity.
Minimum. Now, of course, it is Beathard's very first start, and I think he said in the post game at some point that he was kind of nervous, which is understandable. You know, it's one thing to get to be the hero like you and I talked about last week.
Right.
It's a whole different matter when you get to be the hero coming riding in, you know, to save the day.
Well, this
is a different thing than preparing all week and then being out there from the beginning.
Right. In this particular case, he got to be the hero saving himself from Beathard. From himself. So, no, he did it, I think.
And a lot of drops.
First, oh, that was maddening.
Say this, though. I think there is something to the fact that it's a different kind of ball he throws. I mean, he was throwing everything at 100 miles an hour. I mean, it was a rocket, which is great, but maybe not, you know, when you're 7 yards away. Wow. I don't know. A couple of them were a little bit of speed balls that I think they just got on the receiver faster than they're used to.
Yeah, but you know, like you always say, you hit a receiver in the hands. What more can you...
I agree. I'm not excusing it. I'm just giving
a possible reason. And did you notice that horizontal crap that you hate actually worked a couple of times?
It did.
Because the ball got there faster.
Yep, it so did. And I'm telling you what, the kid that's really exciting to me is that Parker kid.
If he can get, you know, settled down a little bit, he is a playmaker. And he's got the speed. Willie's, Tevon Smith, Powell. I mean, you can see the speed is coming.
I think Willie's might have the worst hands of all of them, though. Yeah. He had a couple that were like,
Also, you use him at like a jet sweep type thing.
Well, no, you just keep throwing him the ball till he can catch it. Yeah. That's the other solution.
I mean, it was fine. The MVP's got to be probably Weissman. I mean, he scored 2 of your touchdowns.
Yeah, I'd probably say Trinka-Passat would be my MVP.
Oh, okay.
Defense. Once they got going, just disrupted everything. I mean, they were beasts, you know, and that was great to see. You know, and Purdue, I think, is improved over last season.
They are definitely better. That's not saying much.
Kid, Hunt, he's got some wheels.
Running back?
Yeah, running back is a nice player, and their punter is amazing.
Yeah.
As an aficionado of punting, now that I've been an Iowa fan all these years, I wish we had that kid booming them for us, because I mean, no return yards, zero.
Well, and that's
on like 19 punts.
Well, and speaking of the special teams, supposedly they have some weapons on both the kick returns and punt returns, and so
they had a couple nice punt returns.
Well, and as bad as we have maligned our kicking game, you know, they covered up pretty well. So you know, they were just a non-factor. So.
Yeah, I'd say overall it was. I think on Facebook I mentioned that and on Twitter that it was a workmanlike Iowa victory. It's just very. Very workmanlike, nothing to get real excited about. You know, I always love it, though, when I'm in a foreign Big Ten city and Iowa actually manages to win. I get to wear my Hawkeye shirt with pride.
Oh, yeah.
Respect. So that's it. So I'm at the liquor store. Surprise.
In Wisconsin?
Yeah, I know. Picking up some beers. And I got just a black polo with the Hawkeye logo on it. And this woman, younger woman, probably college age, but I'm not college material, I don't think, looks at me, she's like, what's that symbol on your shirt? I'm like, Hawkeye.
It's a religion. Iowa. You wouldn't understand.
Yeah, Iowa Hawkeye. She's like, huh? I'm like, the University of Iowa? oh, that explains why I wouldn't know it. And I'm like, well, you know, they're in the Big Ten Conference, you know, like the University of Wisconsin. Oh, I don't really pay attention to that kind of stuff. Fucking Madison. It was on Williamson Street, of course.
Oh, yeah. Which is fun because, like, I think the last time I was traveling overseas, I was walking through the Brussels airport with my Hawkeye shirt on, and somebody stopped me and asked me, you know, about the team and started talking. Yeah. So,
well, on my way out of the liquor store, I got to go Hawks from a lady. Yeah. And she's like, I went to the University of Iowa. So,
oh, that's, yeah.
And so then the lady at the counter was like, just flummoxed it. Like, oh my God, there's like two people from this weird cult that I've never heard of.
I was wearing a hat in Rome. We were walking back to our hotel, not in any cool place in Rome, just this like little side street. And somebody's like yelling at, go Hawks. You know, this is back when it was, I think, 2010. And they were talking about, you know, what do you think about Stanzi, Ricky? I'm like, I think we've got him reincarnated now. You know, you pick six and then you go back and
yeah, that's something.
So, well, you know, this is what you can't ask for more. 1-0 in the conference, 4-1 overall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like I was just kind of commenting today, and I mean a little bit of truth to it, is that the more success we have as the season goes on, the more that IOCU loss just pisses me off.
Well, if we can somehow even come close to reprising 2002, somehow I'll find a way to live with it, because that's was probably maybe one of my most enjoyable seasons.
That's probably one of the only thing that would put it in the rearview mirror at this point. Yeah, that or at least getting into the Big Ten championship. So, you want to toast this one and start talking about the, because we've got a bye week coming up.
Yeah, well, let's talk about what we're drinking, like usual.
Well, you brought something back from Wisconsin.
And yeah, it's quite good. The Scream Imperial IPA from New Glarus, which...
It's a double IPA. Or it's a double IPA, or it's an
Imperial IPA, double IPA.
Yeah.
Which I think is basically the same thing.
I don't know the difference. It's good.
It's tasty. Well, let's toast them then.
All right. So there's a lot of good football
coming up.
This last week and then coming up. I mean, yeah. I liked...
Perfect time to have a bye week.
It is. And, you know, and especially we've got a couple of, I don't think serious injuries, but just kind of that extra week. Yeah. It's like, you've had Kanzeri, I think, has been fighting something. And who else?
Bullock was out.
Bullock was out, you know, and I think Rudock, Vandenberg, you know, all those guys, yeah, can get them back.
And do we want them back?
Yeah,
not
sure.
What some of the internet experts say.
It's
addition by subtraction.
Can I say it? Maybe with Bullock. Okay.
Maybe, but I
for every good thing that guy does, he's a head scratcher.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't exactly inspire a lot of confidence just running behind.
No. He has the slowness of Mark Wiseman. And the
indecisiveness of LeSean.
Inability to hit, you know, to...
He's a damn good third down back, though. He's the best receiver and the best at blitz pickup. And I think those are kind of little things that people don't often, that kind of they take for granted.
So is he in the wrong position? Does he need to be a tight end or receiver?
No, I think he's in the right position, a third down back. You bring him in on third down and you either dump it out to him leaking out of the backfield or you have him help protect. So
I'll tell you who Mr. Third Down is this year. It's Kevontae Martin-Manley.
Yeah.
Which just shocked me that he had one of those drops.
Yeah, he had two drops, I think, in the game, which was...
Well, one I'm giving him for sure. I think the other one he was kind of turned around a little bit. Yeah, so I don't give him that other one. But then he had that touchdown, and it was funny because we were reviewing it because I had some people over, and I was the only one in the room. I'm like, that's a freaking touchdown.
I thought it was too, yeah.
And I was like, well, if that one was a touchdown, then there's a lot of them, you know. But again, it's one of those things where it's like the first call has so much weight and inertia. And
yes,
do you have
does.
Enough to overturn it?
And yeah, I was worried they weren't going to overturn it, but I thought he got his foot down definitely with the ball controlled in his hand. So that was a beautiful play.
So what do you think? You said you wanted to talk a little bit about the going for it on fourth down. We went for it twice on fourth down.
Yeah, you know, the fourth and three around the 10, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't a real fan of that.
So situationally, we were already up 2 scores?
No, that one was when it was tied still, I'm almost certain. That first one was in
either
the first half or in the third quarter, right?
Okay.
And it must have been third quarter because I saw it live.
All right.
So, yeah, but it was only a tie game. And, you know, it made me wonder, you know, the kicks that Kane has missed have been short angle kicks, and he's boomed like the what, the 52-yarder, I think, was one of them. Right. Another one was like 44.
44.
So I'm wondering if they don't feel a little uncomfortable having him kick from those short distances if it's out on a hash or something like that. And that might have played a role in it.
Well, maybe if you feel like your defense has got them completely shut down.
And they appeared to, you know. I don't know. It was an interesting play call, though. It was like, you know, it almost felt like they could have run something there. I don't know.
Yeah, and then the second one, I think they traded points for field position.
Well, there's really no, we've said this before, but there's no plausible way that Purdue was going to come back. They hadn't shown any indication of being able to do anything.
But in that case, you know, Ferentz is saying, well, you miss, and you just gave them, you know, 13, 15 yards.
Right, yeah.
You know,
well, what I think is funny is that
you can pin him back and make him punt from there.
Some of the usual people that like to bitch about the coaches over and over are now claiming that Ferentz going for it on fourth down was too conservative, which just cracked me up because it's like,
or so conservative,
so conservatively reckless, trying to, yeah, exactly. He, I mean, with some people, he just can't win. So, you know.
No, I thought it was fine. You know, I'll tell you something I did have a little bit of an issue with, and I saw there was a huge thread on the Hawkeye Report, and I didn't read it, but Loudermilk took that second interception, and he was running, you know, green grass in front of him, and he just laid down, you know, and that was probably the classy thing to do, because there was only a minute left, and he said something later about he was recruited by, you know, the coach Heisel when he was, you know, at Kent State, and he didn't really feel like the touchdown was necessary and everything, and all that is fine, and a lot of people are, you know, he's such great gentlemen and chivalrous and whatever, but you know what? I'll just be blunt. I don't want safeties thinking that much. If you have a football in your hand and it's green in front of you, I want instinct to take over. I mean, it's great that he did that, but
it didn't bother me just because I still have nightmares about that frickin' Iowa State game in 2001.
Grant Steed.
Yeah.
Getting punched out.
Yeah.
You know.
And I mean, so to me, it's like, just lay down. It's fine. But no, I'm kind of with you. And, you know, I think it wouldn't have hurt Iowa's image to have beaten Purdue by 17 instead of 14.
Right.
Or 21, I guess.
Yeah.
Instead of 14, which, you know, whatever. Ferentz isn't one for style points.
I get all of that, and I think that's all a valid thing. I really would hope that, you know, when you're on defense and you find yourself with the football,
you don't analyze
how much time's on the clock or how many scores or possessions you're up. You just go.
You know where it's going to hurt us, though, Jim, is after we beat undefeated Wisconsin and Nebraska teams and finish 11-1.
It's going to keep us out of the playoff.
Championship games, that not scoring that touchdown, they're going to look at, hey, they only beat Purdue by 14.
Thanks a lot.
Off to the Cotton Bowl for those bastards.
Exactly.
Could happen.
It could. So you watch some of the other games? Did you watch Nebraska and Illinois?
Well,
it's a holy beat.
Well, that wasn't really fair, though, because Illinois didn't have their best player, that Wes Lunt, the good quarterback they have. So the game that really fascinated me was just watching Minnesota grind Michigan into the dirt. You know what it reminded me of was the 2002 Iowa game up in Ann Arbor.
38-9.
Jamel Lewis just ran, trucked them over and over and over again. I'm still... You know,
the story of that game, right? Is I had a flu. I told this story on the podcast before. I had a flu, and my wife said, "You must really be sick," because I was beating the holy shit out of Michigan, and you were just laying there in bed. And I was like, "Did that really happen?" I thought I hallucinated.
It was
like a fever dream that we beat him so bad.
But you know, I watched a lot of that game, and I know now Minnesota, of course, is the darling. Them in Nebraska of the West, and you know, of course, nobody's paying attention to Iowa, which is fine. But Minnesota's still not that good. I mean, their quarterback is barely average as a passer.
Yeah,
and
they can run.
They can run, but you know,
so
do you
can
worry?
Pittsburgh.
But do you worry? Yeah, exactly. Do you worry about Iowa getting beat for an entire game by a running game?
No,
I don't.
No, that's the style of our defense. We're going to make a quarterback beat us through the air.
Absolutely.
And if they can't pick us apart,
and that's why I'm excited, because I look at Nebraska, Wisconsin, and Minnesota, which are our big rivals to win this West this year, and none of them have that quarterback that scares me. I'm not saying that Iowa can't lose to those teams.
I don't know. I'm starting to move Armstrong into that category. He's got a little bit of a nice...
anybody.
But yeah, look at
Let's watch this week. Michigan State, Nebraska
you
will tell
it.
Us a lot.
It will. We're going to learn a lot this week.
Yeah, it is. And we'll be able to watch.
But no, you're right in that. And I don't believe that Wisconsin... Well, Wisconsin... Wisconsin and – but all of those games are definitely losable. And Northwestern, I think, is losable if they play like they did against Penn State.
Sure. Well – it
looks like they kind of woke up.
Yeah, well, and, you know, Iowa's going to play everything close to the vest, and they're going to be in dogfights. I mean, that's – I think, you know, we keep kind of talking about, oh, the offense is just about to break out. The running game is just about to break out. That, what evidence is there that that's going to happen?
I'm saying, it's five weeks in.
Yeah. You know. And well, it's not like we've been playing a murderer's row of great defense either. So, I mean, these are teams that are giving up lots of rushing yards to other teams. So I'm starting to come around to, we have one awesome offensive lineman and then three other guys.
Yeah, it's starting to feel that way, and it's starting to feel like they all spent all summer working on pass protection, because that's been actually airtight.
Amazingly good. Yeah, so, amazingly good. They're just not firing off the ball like you're used to seeing Iowa go.
So going back to the rest of the league in the West, I mean, I think that you're right. I think that there's some vulnerabilities. Wisconsin has shown, I think, Minnesota, if you can stop them from running, they start to fall apart. Northwestern, I don't know, total question mark.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're Nebraska, I guess they're probably the team to beat right now in the West.
Well, here's the thing that really gets me, though, is that we were told all offseason how bad the West was and how awesome the East was. Give me a break. Michigan's terrible. Penn State's nothing special. You know, maybe Maryland might be the best team in the East.
I'd say Michigan State. And
well, Michigan State.
Between
I was thinking
Ohio
Michigan
State.
State's in the West.
Because they were for like so they long. Yeah, and I think it's between Ohio State and Maryland on who's kind of runner-up.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to watch those two teams play each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, if you're on Bo Pelini's staff, you're looking at that schedule and you're thinking, there's got to be four losses out there somewhere.
Exactly. Where are we going to find our annual four losses?
It's like, you know, you can't just break with tradition.
It's a rite of autumn.
Exactly. So maybe they're going to think three losses and then the bowl choke the bowl game. I don't know. Around the country... anything really shocked you? Any storylines? I mean, still sticking in the league. What about that?
Rodriguez is quietly undefeated down in Arizona.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, I still think if Michigan had stuck with him a while,
yeah,
he'd have got things turned around there. I think he was on the verge of it. Now, I don't think he was the right cultural fit for it. No. I don't think he had the right personality for that job. And I mean, it was like oil and water. But, you know, he, I think, is actually a pretty damn good coach.
Yeah, and, you know, he was not a Michigan man.
No.
And he had that alumni, well, you read the book.
Yeah.
And
that book made me a lot more sympathetic for him. For people that don't know, it's by John L. Bacon.
I don't know. You're the guy that pays attention to authors.
Yeah. It's a great book that kind of goes.
It's called Three and Out.
Three and Out, and it goes over the Rich Rod years in Michigan. And it's really
And you can tell he, I mean, and I think this is true of every unsuccessful coach, is that they really care. But I think that the key with that book is that Rich Rod was starting to get his legs underneath him and starting to get the players to buy into his system, but he never had the support of what do you call them? They're not the boosters.
The
they're the alumni, guard, the Michigan men.
Right. Yeah.
You know, never really supported him, including Lloyd Carr.
Right. Well, and you know, what's interesting is that, you know, you and I talk about business stuff a lot, is that Rich Rod is kind of has that entrepreneurial kind of type.
He's a startup guy.
And it would be like putting a startup entrepreneur, it'd be like putting the Uber guys in charge of IBM.
Yeah.
Michigan's IBM,
exactly.
Right? And it's like, it just doesn't fit.
No, it's culturally, it's like you have to have the guy, the Jeff Immelter, the Jack Welch in charge of GE.
Exactly.
You can't take some guy, you know, some kid in Birkenstocks and throw him up there.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, but I think, you know, Kansas dropped their coach midseason. Do you think they're going to keep Brady Hoke through the whole season?
Yeah, I think they have to. I mean,
if he kills a quarterback, and then maybe not.
The Big Ten is just not the kind of league where you start seeing coaches fired in the middle of the season. At least we've never seen
it. I know, but that was pretty bad.
I
want to give him the benefit of the doubt that he didn't see it, or he thought it was his leg, but come on.
Yeah, you know,
with all the world zoomed in on this sport
true.
And concussions.
I guess what bothers me a little bit, though, is that the ginned up outrage that everybody has to have when really it's, you know, I don't
well,
know. I mean, I it was not the right thing to hear. No. But is it something worth being outraged over?
Well, Tori, when it rains, it pours. You know,
well,
and Ferentz says this a lot, too. When people give you all the leeway in the world when you're winning.
Mm-hmm.
When you're losing, then every little thing becomes a nightmare.
Exactly.
And, you know, this is the kind of thing that even if you were winning that game and you were 4-1 or 3-2, they probably would have given them the benefit of the doubt.
I think you're right.
But the fact is, they're in a tailspin. They keep trying to find rock bottom, but they keep sinking a little lower. And now you almost killed your quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, and it just piles on. It starts to, you know, snowball on you.
Well, the interesting thing to me is seeing all those empty seats at the Big House. That's kind of crazy.
Now, supposedly, their marketing department still stands by this myth that they have the longest series of sellouts in history.
Now, how many schools claim that? There's like 12. Well, it's all made up.
It I is. Mean, it's and crap. Especially when you're putting tickets in like six packs of Coke or whatever, exactly. whatever they found up there on. It was on Reddit, of all places. they were giving away tickets to the Big House in like a case of Coke.
Yeah.
So they've got some, you know, they've got a reckoning. They're going to have to acknowledge that they're not selling out their stadium. Their students are not selling out. We've seen a lot of empty seats at Kinnick. Just
wouldn't say a lot, but more than
in the student section.
But that's really does seem to be a national trend.
It does. And I think that, you know, there have been some interesting analyses about the competitive, you know, it's getting too expensive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a huge commitment to be there when you can't leave and come back.
Mm-hmm.
There's no alcohol. Students would rather, you know, sit in front of their 72-inch plasma and drink beer than...
So the solution is free beer. I can.
I'm totally on board with that.
I could get behind
that. Depends on what kind of beer.
If it's free, it's good. That's my motto.
Free beer is
no bad. Such thing as a bad free beer.
All right. Well, what else you got going on this?
Well, I was going to say we kind of had a guest sort of lined up, but they couldn't make it to the recording until late in the week. And we know
we'll save them.
Fans are just dying for us. So we do still have more guest spots lined up for later in the year. But, you know, we didn't want to blow our wad before a bye week. So, you know,
what are we going to do for the bye week? We usually do beer week on the bye week.
We do usually do beer week. We could do beer week bye week.
Yeah,
again.
We can talk about that.
Maybe we could get like an actual beer expert in this time.
Do you know any?
I don't know. Find one.
We'll have to put something out on Twitter. You know, that'd be cool is talk to the people on Untappd.
I actually have a really kind of fun idea. Should I spoil it for what my Tuesdays with Torby column is going to be next week? You ever have like one of those times where like when you're laying in bed and then like just
don't spoil it, just plug it though.
Something weird happens in your head and you start thinking about, well, it won't spoil it because I don't want to give out what they are. But so I started going through my head about how mascot names kind of fall into three categories, like lame and unoriginal and stupid. And
that's like lions, bulldogs,
wildcats.
Yeah.
See, now you're kind of you're starting to spoil it. Then there's unique but kind of cool, and then there's unique and freaking stupid. And so I was gonna kind of
what
break
about
down.
where does historical and racist come into play?
Exactly,
because that's in
there
too.
Some of those too. So I was thinking I was gonna go through the Big Ten ones and then talk about some of my favorite and unfavorite national ones as well
for mascots.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm on board with that.
It'd be kind of fun.
If you can figure out what a Hoosier is, I'm on board with that.
I think it's like a toothless hillbilly.
If you can figure out why a cyclone is a bird, answer me that.
Well, see, I don't want to.
Why does
I'll spoil this one because not everybody that reads the column listens to the podcast. But Iowa State holds a special place for just being blatantly stupid.
Well,
all in all.
But on the other hand, you know, one of the most intelligent schools on this planet is Stanford, and they have named their tree Cardinal.
But theirs is one of those that's like so weird it's cool. It's like they're just the color. They're the Stanford Cardinal,
right?
Which refers to the color.
Yeah.
And then they have the tree, I think, actually exists on their campus, right?
It is.
It's like an actual tall tree that was there. And so it's all of this weird amalgamation. Iowa State's just like, nah, what? Cyclone,
I drove through campus. I didn't see the tree. Maybe I wasn't looking.
Yeah. Wow. I think it's there. But anyway, so there's a plug
right.
for
Well, there's a lot of good football coming up this week. I think particularly excited about Michigan State, Nebraska.
Yeah,
I think we're going to figure out this Saturday whether or not the Big Ten gets a spot in the playoff.
It could, yeah. I mean, if Nebraska wins this game this week and then wins out, including the championship, they've got to be in.
Right.
The interesting thing is if Michigan State wins the Big Ten championship, will they get in at 11-1 with their only loss to which
it really depends on Oregon.
Will be a highly ranked Oregon team.
If Oregon cleans house in the Pac-12, then yes, I think they would. I also believe that if Nebraska wins, you can't continue this myth where an undefeated Nebraska is like 20th or 22nd, and
they're gonna
a one-loss Michigan State is still the top 10 team.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that is the flaw.
Don't you think voters though are also waiting for the four Nebraska losses to?
Well, yeah, because they know it's up.
I've seen this show before. Set your watch by it. I know exactly how this ends.
But it just feels like, you know, this is the flaw with the ranking system, and this is kind of what feeds the freaking playoffs too.
Well, and the argument that people have made, and especially now that there's a playoff, is that they really should. This should be the first week that rankings come out, the first week of October. Let everybody get 4 to 5 weeks in, settle the landscape. Because then, I mean, Michigan was ranked to start the season. I mean, let some stuff weed out and settle before you start ranking teams. I mean, I think you could get an accurate pulse on where teams fit in after they've at least got through their non-conference season. And that's would be my recommendation. If we're going to do a playoff, let's not release any rankings. Now, they don't release the BCS rankings till later, but everybody knows that's still fed in part by rankings. So
wait a minute, they're still doing that?
I don't know. They used to.
Are they? Maybe. I thought it was just all selected.
Maybe they aren't anymore.
I don't know.
But
they probably call it something else.
Yeah, but regardless, I still think ranking teams in the preseason is a lesson in futility anyway.
Well, it is, but that those things have inertia. You know, you look at Florida State, they have struggled and scrapped, you know, in every game they've been in, and they're still one or two in pretty much every ballot. But, you know, could they hang with Alabama? Could they hang with Michigan State? Could they hang with
it's likely.
Oregon? You know, I don't know. Could they hang with Oklahoma?
Oklahoma's sneaky good.
I think they are. But, you know, again, there's the Big Ten. Or, I'm sorry, the Big 12. Oklahoma and what? Who's your second? Baylor? Kansas State?
Yeah. Baylor's pretty scary.
But there's just such a drop-off in these conferences, except for the SEC and, I think, the Big Ten.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't know. We're still only a couple weeks out from the Big Ten being a tire fire, so I'm not ready to.
Well, you know,
I mean, now that we're playing each other, we're good again. I don't know. That doesn't seem.
Well, right. That's not. And that's why, you know, I don't call last week a bounce back week. I call it reverting to the mean. Because 2 weeks ago was just so abysmal that, you know, you have to kind of eventually come back to the.
We gained a little mojo back. I mean, I think so. That was good. Iowa helped.
We did,
you know,
by
which
knocking
is
off
nice.
Pitt, and then
for sure,
yeah. Well, it'll be fun. So next week is
so.
Bye,
I need your prediction on bye week.
Bye week. Ooh, my prediction is I am going to mow the lawn.
Okay.
And then, depending on the weather, I might go for a bike ride because there's very few of those days left. This is my last good time to sit in front of my TV and actually like have a nice long football Saturday.
My prediction is I'm going to, you know, start off really sluggish and slow.
Yeah.
And just look terrible.
But by halftime, you're really
kind of confused, you know, and people are going to be like, what the hell is wrong with Tori? And then, you know, by the second half of the day, I feel like I'm just going to pull my shit together a little bit. And suddenly, you know, by night, I'm going to be just like very productive and sharp and get a lot of stuff done.
Doing what is it you're going to be doing?
Yeah, I don't know yet.
Well,
but that's how it's going to play out.
I like the attitude.
that's the feeling that I have, I think.
Well, come on over. I got plenty of beer left over from last week. So I have this thing where okay, so I'm kind of a girl when it comes to this. I know who's coming over, and I'm like, okay, this guy likes wheat beers, and this guy likes brown ales, and I don't have wheat beers or brown ales.
I like meth.
Well, hold that thought. And then another friend of mine likes Guinness, right? So what did I do? I'm going to Hy-Vee, and I found some Hoptimum. I found some that Tour de Fall, which is really
good. That is a nice beer.
And then I was like, okay, I got to get a wheat beer, so I got Snapshot.
Good one.
Which is a good one. And then I got some Guinness. And then I got, for a brown ale, I think I got just Newcastle. I hate that garbage. But anyway, I got all that stuff, and I put it all in a cooler. And I told these guys when they come over, I'm like, look, I bought a beer for you. You're going to drink your beer, or you're going to take your beer home. They didn't take it home. So now I've got like a cooler in my downstairs shower full of iced up beers that I will never drink.
I have going in the drain. Garage refrigerator full of Miller High Life Light and Busch Light. So let's see who's worst on this.
I'm just saying, come on over, help me clear.
Thankfully, though, Sacklar came over and took care of a bunch of the Miller High Life Lights for me. So, you know what we should do is reprise.
Wait a minute. Don't we have teenagers? Why aren't they rating our craft beer?
I know. That's what. You know what? My wife keeps locking their fridge, and I'm like, don't, just leave it open. Drink the Busch Light.
How else am I going to get rid of this?
Exactly. But so what we should do is reprise the, remember we did the filet mignon steak tailgate thing a couple years ago for the Iowa-Michigan State game?
And I do
remember that. Improbable win in the horrible season. The only bright spot in the 2012
season. I was
season.
In Toronto, so I missed that.
Oh, you did miss it. Yeah. Oh, we could do that. I thought you were going to be gone next Saturday.
No, I'll be gone. I'll be here this Saturday. I'll be gone like two Saturdays after.
Okay. Well, yeah, then we should. We should definitely.
I'll be in LA.
Let's do a watching football ticket, and the family's going to be gone. So.
Well, let's do that.
All right.
Let's do that.
It's a plan.
All right. So no predictions?
I already gave you my prediction.
Well, let's pick something. Who do you like Nebraska, Michigan State?
I like Michigan State.
Really?
I think they're the class of the Big Ten, and I don't think it's really that close.
Really? Interesting. I think it's going to be fairly close. But I think also Michigan State.
You know, Nebraska always loses at least one game by a ridiculous amount of points every year.
Yeah, they always got like, they're always on the wrong end of like a 60-7. Yeah.
I have a feeling this might be it.
Really?
I really do.
I don't see Michigan State with that kind of offense.
Yeah, I guess maybe it's just pure unadulterated disdain for Nebraska that's talking here. But yeah, I'm not a believer in them until they get through an entire season without crap in the bed.
Yeah. Well, I think Michigan State also, and then I think that probably indicates that the East has the best team, but the West is a stronger division.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment of it.
We'll see.
I tell you what, though, right now, I'd rather we were playing Penn State and Michigan than Maryland and Indiana.
Oh, sign me up for that.
Yeah, right?
Jeez, you know, whatever happened to our soft schedule, it changed exactly. Underneath our feet.
Indiana's another Jekyll and Hyde team. Go on the road and beat Missouri and then get punked at home by Maryland. I mean, I
think that says more about Maryland than Indiana.
We'll see.
Yeah. All right. Well, with that, I guess that's an abbreviated podcast.
Okay.
But, hey, we did our job in half the time.
Well, we only needed half because there's no game to talk about that's right. Upcoming.
Well, we'll talk a little bit more next week about the games that we saw. There's a lot of good football coming up.
And we should find a beer expert or something. Or an expert on something.
Somebody to talk to about something.
Yeah, instead of each other, I'm bored of talking to you.
I know. And so, you know what? The people, if any of the reactions are any indication, people are bored of listening to us.
Oh, that's not true. People write onto the board, where's the podcast? Why haven't you posted the podcast
yet? Well, for every one of them.
Well, you know, haters are going to hate.
John. I know. You know what? They can talk about how bad this podcast sucks in their podcast.
Exactly.
Which they don't have. All right. So with that, we'll sign off into a bye week. Iowa is 4-1.
You know what?
Still controls its own destiny.
But this is what's so funny about college football, though, is that have you noticed, like, I am in such a good mood this week because there's no possibility of Iowa losing. Like, it's like, I just like a little less anxiety, a little more bounce in my step because I don't have that gnawing fear in my stomach. Do you get that?
A little. It's a little bit.
And especially because it's like, yeah, all you other sons of bitches, you got to watch out.
You got to put your neck on the line.
You're going to put your neck on the line while I got my feet up drinking my beer watching the TV.
You know, I think it's for me, it's just more of a, I can finally just sit back, relax, and enjoy football. Without the stress.
Exactly.
You know, whereas it's really hard to enjoy football after, especially after an Iowa loss.
Oh, yeah.
And even if they win, you've spent a big chunk of your day when you could have been channel surfing between eight games, you've been watching one.
Well, then, you know, like they win the Purdue game, and then you're like surfing the internet, and you're like, whoa, we're still only eighth in the Big Ten power rankings. How could this be? We're 4-1. It's
exactly.
Like, no, why? If I was a fan of any other team, I'd look at, big freaking deal.
Exactly.
Any win is a
which would be the right answer. So, and this goes back to what I was saying at the beginning of the season, which is that we could make it all the way to November like this.
Oh, yeah.
You know, think about it. You could beat Indiana.
Yeah.
And then who's next?
Maryland.
Maryland.
That might raise some eyebrows.
Okay, that might.
Because
that might
get some
attention.
Because if they continue to win and we win there on the road, which I will be at that game in person.
And then Illinois, right?
I think so, yeah.
Or Minnesota.
Yeah, they all get jumbled in.
And then, you know, you could go into the first week of November saying, I still don't really have a good handle on how this team is.
Well, if Maryland wins this week, they'll be ranked when we play them, I think. And then if you beat a ranked team on the road all of a sudden and you only have one loss in the season, you're sitting 6-1, people have to start paying a little attention to you. So
we'll see.
We'll see. We got to just keep winning.
We just got to keep winning. And it would be nice if seniors on this year's team actually saw themselves with a number in front of their name.
You know,
and, once before they graduate.
Yeah, you know, and what's been interesting to me is that, and you mentioned this too, that Iowa this year feels like there's maybe more overall program talent, but they're all a bunch of like C-plus to B-plus players. There's no star. You know, like, where's your Matt Roth? Where's your Bob Sanders? Where's your Ricky Stanzi? Where's your Sean Green? Where's your name after name?
You got Brandon Scherff,
right? Which is an awesome offensive lineman. But after that, it's kind of like, there's not a lot of stopper. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing or a good thing. I mean, I'm glad that it's...
You got a whole roster, top to bottom, of B-plus players, but you don't have that star. You don't have that playmaker that get the ball in his hands.
It's like I was thinking about that when I was watching the Purdue game. Like, if I kept this on my DVR for 5 years, who am I going to look back on and go, oh, man, I remember when blank played. Now, I'm hoping down the road it might be like Jonathan Parker, CJ. Could be CJ. Maybe. He's only a sophomore, right?
Yeah.
So, but it's just interesting to me that the 2014 team doesn't seem to really have that name guy that kind of pops for you.
Well, you know, and that's – okay, so can we say that this year's team is like the Albert Young – of Iowa football games. Remember Albert Young? That guy was our...
Still, whenever they're talking about, he's closing in on Albert Young's record.
It's like, really? I don't remember anything about Albert Young's career, except that we didn't worry about running backs when Albert Young was there.
No, great, great unsung Hawkeye.
Exactly.
And we could do like a whole like feature on that sometime.
We should. You know what? Albert Young deserves that.
Lou Montgomery.
No, there's a core. He's like a cult hero.
Is he like a cult on the internet?
I mean, nobody's like starting Albert Young web pages and stuff. But he was a really solid back for a really long time.
That is true.
And he's kind of like just faded into
Chris Cross.
What?
Don't you remember they had a tight end named Chris Cross?
No,
that was hilarious.
One of those guys died. I think of the kids that wore their pants.
I think
back.
It was Chris Cross, wasn't it?
No.
Somebody on the internet looked that up.
Well,
and tweet to us. I swear to God, there was a tight end named Chris Cross.
All right. Well, we should sign off and just don't forget you can follow us on bulliesofthebig10.com and at 12 Saturdays, 1-2 Saturdays.
1-2 Saturdays. No space.
No space. We've got a Facebook page.
Yeah, we have like 25 people that looks at it.
Hey, you know.
We have a lot of Twitter followers.
We do. We have more Twitter followers. We need to start being... That's our goal for next week. We need to be a little bit more Twitter active. Yeah. And I think that's totally on me because I'm not getting a signal anymore at Kinnick. Like, everybody upgraded to Verizon LTE, and now I don't get a signal.
What about Instagram? Maybe we should start on Instagram.
I don't even know how that shit
works.
Just
do dick pics.
You know, we need to get on Elo.
The hell's that?
That's like the new thing.
Oh, no. That's like the... That's like the Facebook for like elitists, right?
It is. It's like the Facebook for people who are too cool.
Get on there with Stephen Patrick.
Exactly. All right. Well, follow us on Twitter, Facebook, go to our blog, whatever, iTunes. Just hang out. Let us know. It doesn't cost you anything.
All right.
So on Iowa.
Go Hawks.